Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Anyway, on the line with us right now is WIP's own Joe Giglio. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Angelo.
Joe, a lot of ground to cover. Let's start with the 76ers because they won last night, but nobody really feels like it was that much of a win. How do you feel?
Yeah, it didn't feel like a great. I mean, and look, the shot by Shake is great. It gives them confidence there, and they pulled out a victory. But they gave up over 40 points in the fourth quarter again, and they're playing a team just like Saturday, undermanned, and this team in San Antonio has played now, it was three games in 4 days. I mean, it should have been the kind of game against the kind of team where at the end of the game, the Sixers are kind of pulling away from them. They're out of gas. They're a little bit tired after, you know, playing a lot of basketball, after not playing a lot of basketball for months. But that wasn't the case. I mean, for a couple of years when this team started to get good, it was built on its defense. That was its calling card. I mean, Brett Brown used to talk about that all the time. And it's back-to-back games here, allowing 40 points in the fourth quarter. And we're not even talking about, like, there's no James Harden on the court for the Pacers or the Spurs. So, yeah, it's hard to walk away feeling great when you have defense like that late in the game.
I should point out, too, that even when the Spurs are healthy, they suck, all right? 8 under .500 going into that game last night. So it's not like they're the Spurs of that great run they had. All right, Joe, now we get to the defense and – do you think that the shift to four from point guard is affecting Ben Simmons on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, I when I was watching the game Saturday, it was in the back of my mind. I was watching it again last night. It's hard not to wonder what is different about Ben right now and if it's mentally. I mean, if he's physically fine, and we've heard for a while now he is because he's back and they cleared him and he's been practicing and we've heard nothing that it has anything to do with the physical stuff that he went through when he missed time at the end of the regular part of the season. But if it's not that, then I have to think there's something to this. I mean, he's always identified himself as a point guard. He's always wanted to be that. They changed his position. And we know this from watching the NBA for years, especially with really good athletes like Ben. Defense is effort. It's energy. It's not, can you do it? We know Ben can be a really good defender. People want him to be the defensive player of the year, or at least put him in that conversation. And through two games, he hasn't been. I mean, it's two games. There could be some rust here. He's playing a different position. Maybe there's mental stuff. But if this continues, Angela, I mean, someone has to ask the question, is he giving 100% effort on defense? Because this isn't the Ben Simmons we watched all season.
Well, I just played a cut a few minutes ago, Joe, of the coach crowing about what an amazing attitude Ben had. And he was going to take outside shots. He was totally into what they were doing. And there's been no evidence of that in the two games since they came back. Joe, does Brett Brown have any idea what the hell he's doing?
I think he has an idea of what he wants to do. I don't think the players, often at times it feels like, want to do what he wants to do. And it's like they're not all on the same page. I mean, the Ben Simmons thing is, it's like, how many times can we do this before we just recognize something is just not going to work the way they want it to? He shoots a shot in a scrimmage, a corner three, and we're all excited. The game start, he doesn't do it. And the game start, and whether he's not invested in playing point power forward or he's not comfortable, either way, he's not playing to the level that we know that's still there. That's the most frustrating part. It's not that he's playing horrendous and he's not a good player. It's that we know there could be more there, and for whatever reason, he and the Sixers can't get on the same page to unlock it.
All right, we have already reached the key moment in this conversation. Joe Giglio, I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to ponder it. It's a very important answer you have to give me, all right? Here we go. Brett or Gabe?
Oh, Gabe's a better manager. I mean, there's no question. I mean, he's talking about getting more out of less. That's what Gabe Kapler did, and I think he will continue to do in San Francisco. Yeah, look, I like Brett. Brett's a nice guy. I think everyone says that, but if I had to choose one to lead my team, it's Gabe Kapler.
Yeah. You know what's really good, too, Joe? Apparently now he's doing his news conferences, Gabe is, with a glass of whiskey. Do you favor that? Because I think that's a good direction to go in, especially for kids that are watching.
Well, yeah, I didn't think about the kids, but I thought from an entertainment perspective that he should have started doing that here. We would have had a lot of fun with that.
You actually just brought up the kids.
Yes, I thought it was nice when a kid's watching.
Yeah, because a kid never sees his mom or dad with a beer or a glass of wine. That is the stupidest thing you've ever said.
No, believe me, Rhea, I assure you there's many, many that are ahead of it. All right, Joe, let me get to the Phillies right now because I got this. I really love Andrew McCutchen, and yesterday him saying, "Damn right I'm angry at what the Marlins did. I'm ticked off. We ought to sit around for a week because they didn't do the right thing." Should the Phillies be angry, and why aren't more of them angry?
Well, they should be. I think we all are. I think most people around baseball, obviously Rob Manfred is, because you saw that statement and that report that came out Friday where he's basically threatening the players. Like, if we don't clean this up, we're going to just cancel this thing. It's not like a parent, you know, telling a kid, if you don't stop one more time, you're going to your room. Like, we're done here. They should be angry. The only reason I can think that they're not is because they realize the delicate situation, Angelo, that this could happen to them. I mean, this could happen to any team. It just takes one person to make a mistake or one person and not do the right thing, or let's say a few people, and then all of a sudden the same thing could happen to the Phillies happened to the Cardinals and Marlins to the Phillies. So I think they're all treading lightly. Maybe baseball is telling them, let's tread lightly here so there's not more negativity. But, yeah, I mean, I appreciate that from Andrew, too, because who wouldn't be frustrated? The Phillies basically had zero positives all week and had to sit around out of the fear they did. That's on the Marlins, not on them.
All right, Joe, you are very, very knowledgeable in baseball. So we need you to explain to us who is Deolis Guerra. I may be pronouncing that wrong.
I'll sum it up this way. He's the cheapest and easiest reliever to find to stick in the back of your bullpen. When two things, when you can't find undervalued players, when you struggle to find, and every team needs to find these, no matter big market or small market, you need to find a couple players that don't make much money, no one ever heard of them, you pick them up from another team, and all of a sudden they pop and they become good for you. So that's why he's here. And the other part, Angelo, is he's cheap. I mean, the team didn't want to go over the luxury tax. We said all winter, yeah, they built a pretty good team, yeah, Didi's good and Wheeler's good, but that bullpen is a glaring hole. And they sat there all winter and watched good relievers just go to different teams. And that's why we're watching Guerra pitch, because they didn't want to sign a guy with, you know, a real track record.
I'm all that.
So this is what you get.
Joe, all right, you're right about all that. But my bullpen was as rested as any bullpen could ever be, since nobody played on the Phillies
they
for
still
8
stink.
Days. So you mean to tell me a journeyman 31-year-old cheap reliever was the best option in a 3-1 game against the Yankees? You mean to tell me there's nobody else out there that's any better than Guerra, whoever he is?
No, there are. I mean, he's one of the last options, you would think, right? He's
well, why? They're all rested, Joe. They didn't do a damn thing for 8 days.
It's a great, Angelo, it is a great question. It's one that I'm reminded of that we've talked about before, that the kind of, you know, games that you're down, but do you still want to keep it close, or do you play for the next day? Look, there's a lot that goes into, I think, the way Girardi's trying to do the thing. He's trying to figure out what he has down there, but it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy. I think he's given the kid a shot, just like they had an opening day with Rosso, to figure out what he has as he bridges 5, 6, 7 to get to the back of the game.
He has nothing. He should have called us. Let me go over to the Eagles to wrap up there, Joe, because I haven't played this yet, but it was intriguing to me. Doug Peterson knows how he got the coronavirus. He's not saying, but he's making it as clear as he can, and he's a very honest man. He did not get it in the NovaCare complex. Joe, what do you take from him? Like, I guess he's saying, no, the complex is safe. Something happened with me that was not as safe. Give me your interpretation of how Doug got it.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is Doug spent some time with someone, maybe a friend, maybe someone in his family, though I think he did say that his family is okay, that the people he lives with are okay. But he obviously spent some time or was around someone that probably told him soon afterwards, hey, I have it. So, you know, I wasn't struck listening to him, Angela, that he was completely blindsided, that he got it when he kind of pieced everything together. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I mean, it just goes to show you, and I assume Doug is taking precautions. I mean, he's the head coach of a football team. He needs to be there, needs to be healthy. But it just goes to show you how easy this thing is to spread. And when you get it, you say, oh, how did I get it? You trace back one or two steps, like, oh, that's it. It seems like for some people, it's not that hard to realize how you got it after the fact. But yeah, I felt the same thing, Angela. Like, I believed him. He didn't get it at Novacare. He got it somehow, you know, spending time with someone.
Yeah, absolutely. That stuff fascinates me. Joe Giglio, 6 o'clock every night. You don't want to miss it. Joe, thanks, pal.
Anytime, Angela.
Joe Giglio, it's some fascinating insights, Al. I want to explore that a little further in our next segment. He knows how he got it.
Yeah.
I always love, like, not like a coronavirus, like you got a flu or something. Oh, yeah, Jan was over the house on Tuesday, and she got, that's where I got. I like to know where it came from. Well, he knows where it came from, and apparently it did not breach the security of the Novacare bubble.
Yeah.
Al had a theory yesterday. Are you ready to say that on the air?
What was it?
No.
Al said that he believes that Doug Peterson golfed, and he got it golfing.
I believe everybody.
I don't know. Al, outdoors, I think that's safe.
I don't know.
Right?
Was he touching
other balls? What was he doing?
I don't know. Well, no, I don't know what's safe, because you go in, you get, you know, you're with people, but then you go and you have a beer afterwards, even if it's outside. It's like risky.
You know what
I golf every day, so I see it.
You're not golfing today.
All right.
No,
here's
today's
the thing.
Not good.
I got to say this.
Yeah.
Because I'm maybe 6 feet from you.
Yeah.
Not more.
Okay.
You're living a dangerous lifestyle. I should not be this close.
Well, I never see it. I mean,
Ruben, when you come in, wear a mask or something. Al, he golfs. He goes to parties. He's always getting takeout and stuff. He's living on the edge. And guess who's in danger?
Why do you think I rarely go in there?
You know, I don't blame you.
I follow every rule.
What rule are you following?
What rule did I break?
Golfing.
Allowed to.
I don't trust you. I don't. If I let me make this clear now. I want to make an announcement.
What is that?
If I do get the coronavirus, it's almost inevitable.
Yeah.
Al will have given it to me. So if I'm off, like I'm off for a couple of weeks, just know I'm home in bed, hacking up a lung and hating Al.
Now, if that happens and you're off for a couple of weeks, can we take vacation?
No, you can't take vacation.
There's no point to vacation.
No.
You can't do anything.
But Al has to work every shift for 2 weeks.
I do anyway.
Jim.
That's true. He doesn't take off.
Jim is on live from Havertown. Hi. I meant all the shifts. Middays, nights,
That's fine.
Of it.
Those guys don't do nothing.
Jim's online. Hi, Jimmy.
Angela, how are you today?
Jim, do you feel any sympathy at all for the Marlins?
No sympathy.
But Derek Jeter wants you to. Derek Jeter said you should.
But you explained, and where you had empathy yourself. Empathy is just understanding why they did it. And like you said, you worked the beat. You know why these young guys did this, why they frayed.
Selfish.
So that's empathy. Sympathy is sorrow. I feel no sorrow for them, no.
All right. Well, I don't have either. All right, Jim? And I'm going to tell you why. Because they're being asked to do things that are not that difficult to do. They're not in a jungle with a machine gun.
And they have family, too, and that's the problem.
Yes.
That's where it
and
turns
they
horrible
don't,
if they bring it to their family.
They don't care. Do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't care. And I got to play this joke. I want you to react in the moment to this, all right, Jimmy? Because Derek Jeter is fishing for feelings of sorrow for his own sad team. Listen to this.
I think one of the first and most important things that we all can do is to have a little empathy for our players. You know, they've been stricken with a virus that has no cure other than to run its course. you know, our players and coaches went into this knowing that their health was on the line. And unfortunately, they've had to endure quite a trying time over the last week plus. And we have seen firsthand just how contagious this virus is.
What do you think, Jim? Does that help you at all?
No, Andrew. You know what it is, too? We're going to double message out there, too, broadly by this administration and by this government, and any government is a pain in the butt.
Yep.
But so we get a broad interpretation of this, and these guys understand that if they're young and healthy, they're being told by the main guy,
yep,
you're not going to be sick. You're going to have the sniffles. It's no big deal.
That's right. But so they don't care about their parents. They don't care about you, Jim. They don't care about Jim in Abbottown.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't bring it home to your family. That's right. That's exactly right. Don't bring it home to me.
Don't bring it to Jim. Jim does not need the coronavirus.
There you go. Hey, please let me touch on what's in there. You guys got the Sixers down pat.
Yes, we do.
Especially Ben Simmons. He is disengaged.
Yep.
He wants to be the point guard. Anybody who plays point guard knows this. Yep. I was blessed enough to play point guard. A couple of my kids play point guard. You are the quarterback of that team, Ange. You are the most important player out there to the coach, at least. And he thinks he's the most important player out there because he's been the best player since he's been about 12, maybe. But let me say something about it. When he was defending Kawhi Leonard, remember that play?
Yep.
Up on the elbow, he's got Kawhi. What's the name that comes up? Joel comes up to double-team him, rightfully so. Do you remember what this kid did?
Yes.
He disengaged and went away
with
5 seconds left. Where are you going? There's nothing for you to do besides stay with this double-team. Where are you going? That showed his personality, man. I was a big fan of his. I gave up on him after that.
Now, I got to tell you, Jim. Jim, God bless you. That's over a year ago, and you're still very, very angry. And I enjoy grudges. That's a beautiful job by you, Jimmy. Gimme, I want to put you up in the stands at Citizens Bank Park. Tell me a place you'd love to go. You can't go right now.
Not if you got a good look at me, Ange. You wouldn't want me up there.
Yes, I do. You're a good looking man, Jimmy. Don't lie.
Here we go, Ange. What's the name? I can't go to a family function. We do a little bit, but we can't have our extended family of friends there.
I like it. I like it. Family function with all the family. Family reunion now. Bring all of Jim's people together.
There you go.
All right. I got George and North Wilmington, and the lines are open. You are, maybe they're thinking about the hurricane right now. I do have a hurricane report coming out. You can get on right away. Here's all I got for this. And I got 4 great prizes, not just the fan cutout, which will be appearing. When you're watching the Phillies game, you'll see your own head. So this is a great opportunity for you right now. I got the Florida Keys out for a steak, a Phillies game, and a family function. Where do you want to go but can't? 215-592-9494. Get on now. You will be on in the next segment, so jump on right now. WIP Sports Time 718.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.